I'm hoping I should be able to go through a few things today in relationship to verse 2 of chapter 1 in the book of Genesis. And what I want to try to do is try to explain a few things. We've learned from chapter 1 where God said what? Rashi, which means what? We're going to begin here. And the beginning is always smaller than the end of something, right? And what we're going to learn a little bit today in Hebrew, some of the Hebrew words, Hebrew sayings. I'm not going to go into a great deal here because it can get kind of boring. But before we get there, when we think about the end, we find it in, you know, Book of Revelation, the very last book, right? We're going to go through a very special word today, a little later. But, you know, chapter 21, you don't have to turn there, Revelation 21, talk about a new heaven, a new earth. All right, for this first heaven, the old heaven was gone, disappeared. And there is something here. You know, we heard the term restoration of all things. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, where does it tell us there? Because he says, at the very beginning of my statements, I told you the concluding matter of everything. And in chapter 1 is the very beginning of the matter. And in chapter 1, it should tell us the concluding matter. Should it not? For he said, in the very beginning, I told you the end of the story. And the end of the story was going to be bigger than the very beginning of the story. Right? We understand that from prophecy. We understand what took place. So today, let me get my paper. Just a brief thing of last week, all right? When last week, you should write the thing in Hebrew, all right? Very first word is Ber Rashit Bara Elohim Et. Very important to note in verse 1. Ha-Mashirim Va-Et Ha-Eretz. And it basically means, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We understand that one. That's simple. Not too hard to get away. But chapter 2 is very interesting. And verse 2, rather, it's a very interesting. There's a very certain word here, which I italicized and read, all right, in Hebrew. And that's this word right here. In Hebrew, most of your translations, they will say, and the earth was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. Remember that? We all kind of know that. It's simple, right? Well, we need to talk about this a little bit. Because in the prophets, Elohim says, I did not make this world in tohu. I did not make it in chaos. I did not make it that way. And so when we kind of look at it, since he made it first, verse tells us, and has a very interesting terminology, it has the word et in it. Et has a direct relationship to when an action is taking place, it's like an object has happened because of somebody did something. Now, verse 2 has no et in it. The first thing it tells us that an ha'eretz, the earth, and here's an interesting word. All right, the interesting word is ha'ita. Ha'ita. Tohu vavohu vavohushek. Okay. That word is basically meaning to become And its present tense is become, but this here is past tense. It became. Ha'eretz became in tohu vavohu vahoshech. It came to be without substance, came without form. Something has occurred. So now we're at this point, and you're saying, okay, then what did God do? Well, it says, and the Spirit, Ahachresh Elohim, went upon the face of the earth. Okay, so now, he created the heavens, and he created the earth. Now, something is happening to the earth. Something came to pass on the earth. Now, I said, some people, let's roll it down. This is basically a philosophy in an awful lot of Christian world. Oh, that was scrolling down on me for crying out loud. There we go. This is a quite common belief. Some people believe that verse 2 is telling us about the prehistoric creation. That is before the time God created man. Where the dinosaurs were there, the big huge things were there, and there was nothing but big giant plants and all the, you know, things that we picture as being 1,000, 2,000, 300 million years ago. Prehistoric. Before history was established. By the way, do you know what history means? No, it means his story. It's the story of man. So when you use the word his story, we're talking about his, man's, story. All right, that's what the word basically means. So this is before his story started. That's how they use that term, prehistoric. All right, do you understand what I'm saying so far? It's not really a hard word to understand. It was dinosaurs and some plants and then a great destruction came. No, how many times have you seen this on television on the History Channel? Where a big meteorite or something crashed or maybe the moon smashed into us and maybe a big explosion took some place and everything died. Nothing living. Right? You've heard about that, right? Well, the Bible doesn't even come close to backing that story up. And I'm not saying that people... I'm not making a mockery of them. I assume they're just not looking at what's going on. He says, now Elohim, he, in a sense, began to repair. We'll get to that word later. The damage that took place. This took him thousands and thousands and millions of years to make the earth habitable to live on, to be worthy to live in. And then we go into day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. All right? You understand what I'm saying so far? That's the basic concept of belief. Now let's go down to another word, another verse. Very famous verse. We all know it, right? Verse 3, then Elohim said, let there be light. And there was light. Right? And we all have this imagination of what kind of light was it. Let me ask you a question. Does God need the sunlight to see? All right. So, what kind of light was it? Oh, it's a spiritual thing, right? We spiritualize everything away by saying, well, it means something different than what it really means. Well, let's talk about that, what it means in Hebrew. Vayomer Elohim, here's that word. Yet, yeah, ho. Same word, first sentence, came. Va'omer, Elohim. Va'omer means and God said, or Elohim said, come, light. And Hebrew, light came. Past tense, not present tense. So now we have this unusual, that doesn't fit there. Let's go on down a little lower. And let's just go to the 29th verse. I'm not down there far enough, am I? This is a word which I'm only explaining one word right now to get the point across that something has happened and it has, something has occurred, and now God is in the realm of doing something about it. It's very interesting here in verse 29, the latter part of it. It's talking about the trees, and to you it shall be for food. Now, in that present tense, it shows here like it shall be. But it's not present tense. It's past tense. That the fruit of the tree came to be your food. Came to be. Well, he created it for a purpose, right? Now, let me go down just to start. I want to just go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. This is very important for us to take a look. Because in the world of ours, both in a lot of Christian worlds as well as non-Christian world and Jewish world, they say the earth was without form. It should translate it, the earth became without form. What does tohu mean? That's the first Hebrew word. Tohu. Vavohu. What does tohu mean? To simplicity of means, it became formless. It came without form. Something happened to its original form. It became a state of confusion. It became a state of unreality. Now, here's Isaiah 45. For those who have a hard time believing that God really, truly did create the world in tohu vavohu, this is him. For thus says Yahweh, or Elohim, or Yahu, however you want to call him. And he's making a restatement. Who made the heavens? Who is Elohim? Who formed the earth and made it? Who established it? Who did not create it in tohu? That's what that word means. Translated there, the word vain. The Hebrew word is tohu. He didn't create it in confusion. He didn't create it in formlessness. He didn't create it in emptiness. He didn't create it in unreality. You understand what I'm saying? That's his words. Who formed it to be inhabited? We'll talk about reformed in a minute. I, Yahuwah, and no other. So now we have a picture. Now we go back here now to verse 2. And it says, get back down here. It says, Elohim moved. Did you notice that? Elohim moved. Where did he move to? What was he moving on? He wasn't moving on the face of the Eretz. He is moving on the face of the waters. What is waters? What is Hamayim? We've talked about that before. What does water mean in Hebrew? Simplicity of matter. Life? No, cleansing, purifying, cleaning. The reason why you get baptized into water is to cleanse you, to purify you. Right? And the reason why you must wash the inside of the cup, because it's dirty, and you have just water to clean it. Now, how many of you people actually wash your clothes or wash your dishes or wash anything? What do you use? Air? The highway? Maybe gasoline? No, you have to use water. And you have to clean it up. And so now he said, who moved it to be inhabited? Who formed it to be inhabited? The previous verse. So now we're at a point. The next word was tohu vavohu. We just got the tohu, means emptiness or chaos, confusion. Right? You saw it in Isaiah, says, I didn't create it that way, regardless of what people think. Would tell me that in Isaiah, they probably thought that, so God said, that's not how I did it. What is bohu mean? Well, there it is. To be empty. To be unable to distinguish what it is. It's a ruin. Nothing's there. Yes. Have you ever seen a destruction of something? And you say, I wonder what it was. And somebody has to say, well, no, here's a photograph of what it was. It looks nothing like that. You know, when a major storm comes through and destroys homes, towns, and buildings, and moves land, and moves trees, moves everything, and you're saying, what is it? It's nothing. It's gone to ruin. Now, did God create, in the very beginning, did He create the world in chaos and in ruin? That makes sense, right? Because it would kind of like, doesn't make sense. Now, we're going to go one more step farther. Darkness. Hoshech. So verse 2 tells you three things. The earth became chaotic and in ruin and in total darkness. How dark is dark? And there we have your Moses. Chapter 10. We know this one, right? It was the ninth plague. Prophetically, the ninth plague. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, and there shall be Hoshech over the land of Egypt. Hoshech, they be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick Hoshech in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. You remember what verse 2 said? Let's go back. There's one word in there that we may just ignore it. Let's go back a little bit here. Lower. this is where, you know, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Here is a very fascinating terminology. You see that word? We didn't talk about it, did we? On the face, something had the face of the earth, and it was deep. So deep. It means darkness. Hoshek was so deep. The depth of the water was so deep, you couldn't see light. Now we have taken, people gone down as far as they can, and they can't see any light. When you get in the water, right? You keep going farther and farther and farther down. There's no, you can't see anything. It's totally darkness. And when some men first started doing that and trying to do their very best in their little submarines, guess what happened to them? No, they lived. But fear overwhelmed them. Total darkness terrified them. And they had to start coming back up again. Because they just can't seem to live without order. Without order, there is no life. Do you understand what I'm saying so far? And so when God said, let there be order, and order came. Light came. Without order, it's total darkness, total hoshek. And it is terrifying and frightening, and it can be felt. Just like he said in to Moses, they're going to be feeling that terror, that fright, that fear. And I asked for them for 3 days. The reason why I'm going through this thing, I will take my time in chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. Then we'll move on at a much faster rate to the rest of Genesis. But the first four chapters tells you everything. Amazing what it does. It tells you just about everything you think of. All the way down to right there. Psalms 104. Here the psalmist is saying something, right? He says, thou sent forth thy spirit. Remember that says there in verse 2 in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2? His spirit was moving upon the face of the waters. Right? And he says now, and they were created. You formed the creation. And then he said, and thou, what'd you do? Renews? You repaired? You repaired what? The face of the earth. You repaired the face of the earth. So as we go into chapter 1 and go on to day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, so, you're going to see him repairing the face of the earth. He uses certain interesting Hebrew phrases over and over and over and over again in the first chapter that sometimes it sounds like, oh, you're talking to a kid? When you're talking to a baby, you know, first word you put, oh. Nose, eyes, ears. After 20, 30, 40 times, finally the kid figures out, oh, he has a nose. Oh, finally he got his nose. And sometimes you look at chapter 1, it's, and God said, 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 and God saw, and God saw, and God saw. Okay, I got the picture. Each one of those things, we need to pay close attention to, and we will. Chapter 1 is an extremely important chapter. I told you this before, and I'll tell you again. The whole Bible is not about man. The whole Bible is about God. What he does, how he thinks, how he acts, what his actions, his deeds, and his thoughts, and his mind, and everything, all in there. When you, the very first chapter doesn't start out with the story of man. It starts out with the creation of the heavens and the earth by someone called Elohim. As we finish this chapter, you will see a pattern. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I was thinking, just, I never could figure out how come day three there was light, then day four there was light. What? Aren't they the same? No. They're totally different. Hosheth has no life in it. There is no life in Hosheth. So the first thing that God is going to do is bring life to Hosheth. And we'll find as we keep going to this chapter, he then begins to change the name of Hosheth. You say, why did that for? We will hope, we will get there and understand. Those are words and things. Okay, why did he call order now Yom? Why did he just keep order, order? He changed the word order to Yom. Oh, really? Why couldn't you just stick with the same word? Because one means one thing, the other is telling you something else. Hosheth means one thing, and the night tells you something else. You understand what I'm saying so far? What do you do? Repair the face of the earth. Well, it's not the only place. I want to use this word. We go down so we get used to this word. In 1 Samuel. Same word, by the way. Verse 11. Chapter 11, verse 12. And Samuel said to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom. You mean renew it? You mean there was a kingdom? And now you have to renew it? Reinstitute it? Reestablish it? Reform it? What do you have to do? In Psalms 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He didn't say, destroy my spirit. Renew it. In Hebrew, repair my spirit. Do you want God to repair your spirit? That's what you ask. And that's what the psalmist did in 50. And Psalms 51. Of course, we all know what that was about, right? David and Bathsheba. And Lamentations. Here, Jeremiah is crying out to God. And he says, turn us back to you, O Yahuwah, and we will be restored. Renew our days of old. Bring back. And it's called restoration of all things. Oh, how do you think God's going to restore? Just a few things. Book of Revelations, he's going to restore everything. It is he's going to do the job, not you, not me, not anybody else. He is going to do the entire job. Because you know why? He knows what he's doing. Another one. In 2 Chronicles 24, verse 4, and here he says, now it happened after that that Josiah, one of the kings of Judah, set his heart on repairing the house. Oh, he's going to repair. It's the same word that's used in Psalms that says, you have repaired the face of the earth. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, his spirit moved upon the face of the earth. What do you think he was doing? Damaging it? Put it into chaos and confusion? Throw it into whole darkness? No. He was going to repair it. restore it. To what condition? Bible doesn't tell us. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You can have all sorts and all thoughts. You may think the world lasted for 15 billion years, and that's up to you. But the Word of God doesn't even say how long anything lasted. And
it wasn't created okay, right? When we come on the scene, it was a world in chaos.
Not when we came, before we came on the scene.
Before we came, it was chaotic.
Yes.
Now, when man was created on the sixth day. Well,
as we keep on going with the it's our world right now is a little bit different. There's a paralleling of the two. I understand what you're saying, but that's not what I'm going to cross. Before man was created, this took place. So I'm just talking about verse 2. Explain verse 2. That's all. No one knows what it was like. Except whom? Elohim. Does he want us to tell what it was like? Well, Prophet Revelation tells you what it's like. The very last chapter, the very last two chapters, yes.
I know you want to talk about just verse 2, but I'm sitting here hearing this, and I've been like thinking, is this in any correlation to when Lucifer was cast out of heaven because iniquity was found in him? Is this during that time, this confusion?
No.
This?
There's no indication biblically that that is it. But there is an indication to that. Could be. Now, that's an interpretation. Okay, all I'm talking about you now is what words mean. Because the world has begun to think that God did create the world in tohu bohu ofahoshek. And he says, no, I didn't. First thing we have to do is get it straight in our head that God did not create it in tohu bohu ofahoshek. Yes.
In 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish.
Well, we get there. Okay, now let's later. Next week, I'm going to go through the rest of Genesis chapter 1. We'll go through that in detail, but it's rapid and fast and quick.
So, but renew and replenish, are those
renewing something. He's restoring something, huh?
Are they the same words?
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Replenish and replenish, it does mean the same word. Repopulation does not. It's a different meaning, not just.
Replenish. It sounds like something was there
before there, and now I want to replenish. Now, we'll get into chapter 2, 3, and 4 of how they were supposed to replenish it and how come they didn't do the job. Okay, that's a different story, but that's chapter 2, 3, and 4. Okay, I'll tell you, the first four chapters tells you everything. It's a fascinating book. Anyway, let's go on one more time. In Isaiah 61, yeah, and it shall be, and they, meaning Israel, when they come, they will rebuild the old ruins. They shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruins of the same word. When Psalm says, your spirit moved upon the face of the earth, and you repaired it. You renewed it. You restored it back to where it once was. Does that make sense to you? You don't have to believe it. Just look at it for a moment. And then 2 Chronicles, verse 2. I mean, verse 15, verse 8. I don't see it. Didn't get highlighted, did I? I meant to get that highlighted. Okay. The latter part of the verse. And he restored the altar. There's that restored. It didn't highlight it, but it means the one you brought back and you repaired it. The altar was damaged, and now you're going to restore it. You know, so in your world, in my world, what does all this stuff mean? We have verse 1. By the way, do you notice that verse 1 has got how many words in it? 7. Look up here. Hebrew. Remember, it's written in Hebrew. In English, they can't possibly do that. But in Hebrew, they did it. In 7. Now, what does 7 mean? Completion. Now, remember I told you about this word et. It's a very important word in Hebrew. You will not find it in English. It's like the object of the action taking place. It's required in Hebrew. In verse 2, there is no object that happened. How they become, it doesn't tell us. There's no et there. It doesn't exist. In this case, it's just a state of what it became. Like a blanket statement of everything. Do anybody understand what I'm saying? So as we go from verse 1, which is a perfect sentence, a perfect statement, and a direct object, heavens and earth were created. In Hebrew, remember, is verb-base. Verb-base. Then it will tell you the who or what. In our English, we have a noun base. Then we find out what does the noun do. In Hebrew, you see the doing. Then you say, who did the doing? And it's always following the verb. I think Spanish is the same way, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of Latin languages have the same thing. They have the verb first and the noun afterwards. So it's not really unusual. Just in our English, it's kind of odd. There's one more thing I wanted to show you. I don't know if I've got it up there or not. No, I don't. Oh, maybe I do. It's just word up there. And then the second word that's in that second sentence. Hayata. Now the reason why it's, although it is, still means to come, the reason why it's in a feminine singular sound is because the word earth is feminine. Not masculine. As you begin to learn, as time goes by, the Creator, words either must be feminine or masculine. And we start thinking about that for a while. Why? Why did they just do like we do here in our English and everything being neuter? Right? Just neuter them all. Don't worry about it, right? But now with Hebrew. Something, what is it, to put it bluntly, what is it that a woman has in her? She's going to carry something. What is she going to carry? A what? Going to carry a child, a baby. All right. Now, the earth, why is it feminine? Because it's supposed to carry. When we get into the rest of Genesis, look what came out of the earth. Trees, dogs, cats, horses, fish. Everything came out from the earth. So that's why the earth is considered feminine. Something came up out from it. It came from. Now, go ahead.
Maybe that's how they came up with Mother Earth.
That I don't know. That'd be interesting. The only bad thing about that is that they turned that into a worshiping thing rather than a thing. So I don't use those terminologies personally. And so when we start looking at masculine words and feminine words, we had to figure out, okay, one is doing something and the other one's doing something. Then there's two entirely different, not opposite, they're entirely two different functions. Did Adam come up out of the earth?
Yep.
Oh yeah, sure enough did, didn't they?
Eve did.
I'm sorry, what?
Eve did.
Eve did not come up out of the earth. That's true. She came up out of him. We'll talk about that when we get to there. Okay, that's a entirely different subject matter. We're not there yet. It's like the old fable. What came first, chicken or the egg?
They both came together.
They both were created at the same time.
Yeah.
The trees that bore seed within themselves, they bore it after they were created, or they bore it when they were created?
After.
They bore it when they were created. Within the tree. Back at yourself. Something. A tree. Okay, come on. You take a little seed, like an apple seed, you put it in the ground, and all of a sudden it's a big tree. Right? What does a tree do?
Produces after.
It gives you more apples. What you're eating is, well, maybe you're eating wood. You're eating that seed that became a big, hard piece of, which you'd never think about picking up and eating. You might cut it down and put it in the fireplace, keep yourself warm, but you wouldn't eat it, right? But yet that thing brings forth food. Interesting terminology. Well, not that it'll go there today, though. So when God moved upon the face of the waters, he didn't say he moved on the face of the earth, but he did move upon the face of the waters. And when he did, he repaired something. As we go on to verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and all the way down to the end of the chapter, we're going to find out what his repairing he was doing and what he thought about it. Not what you thought about it, but what he thought about it. Because it's really about him, right? We can interpret it any way we want, but then we think of ourselves as the interpretation. Let's just think what it says.